This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. More than 100 million acres of soybean and corn plants grown in America this year have been genetically modified. While some people object to so-called GM plants, most farmers and consumers generally accept them. The public may be more skeptical of new experiments in the works. Scientists are redesigning insects and bacteria that could soon be released into the environment. NPR's Christopher Joyce reports on the research and efforts to make sure that it's safe.
Biologist Blake Beckstein leads the way between rows of orange trees. This is an experimental grove in the midst of suburban Riverside, California.
This is where we bring our new students when they come to work in our lab, and we consider this the baptism into glassy-winged sharpshooter work.
The glassy-winged sharpshooter is a flying bug about the size of a cockroach. Beckstein studies the sharpshooter at the University of California at Riverside. In a day, a sharpshooter can suck up and excrete 20 times its body weight in fluid from a tree.
So when you come out when the sharpshooters are in their highest populations, it almost feels like it's raining out here.
As the insect is excreting fluid, it's also infecting the tree or vine it feeds on. The sharpshooter is a carrier. There's a bacterium in its gut called Xylella fastidiosa. When the sharpshooter feeds on a branch, the bacteria invade. They multiply inside the plant and clog the xylem, the vessels that carry plant fluids. A few blocks away from the citrus grove, there's a test plot of Chardonnay grapevines that has been attacked by these bacteria.
Here, these two vines, there's a product of what Xylella fastidiosa does to plants after a couple of seasons.
Well, that vine is completely naked. There's not a leaf on it.
Right. It's a progressive disease. You can sort of liken Xylella fastidiosa infection to clogging of arteries.
It's called Pierce's disease, and grape growers and winemakers fear it.
One sharpshooter could transmit Xylella fastidiosa to every one of the vines in a vineyard. And so you're not just dealing with the problem of the insect feeding on plants, you're dealing with the bacterium that's being moved around by the insect.
The entomology lab at the University of California at Riverside is a big new building painted bright grasshopper green. There, biologist Tom Miller is trying to alter the bacteria that live inside the sharpshooter.
Recent information over the past 10 years makes it clear that all organisms are nothing but a bag of other organisms walking around.
We carry all sorts of bacteria in our bodies. Most living things do. Some of these bacterial hitchhikers are called symbionts.
I mean, the more you realize how deeply integrated symbionts are, the more you realize that all organisms depend intimately on these microorganisms.
Miller has isolated a symbiont inside the gut of the glassy-winged sharpshooter called Alcaligenes. He is genetically altering it, turning it into a killer. He feeds this transgenic bacterium back into the insects and, like a sort of Trojan horse, it attacks and kills the other bacteria inside the bug, Xylella, the one that kills grapevines. The idea is that sharpshooters inoculated this way would spread genetically engineered bacteria to other plants and sharpshooters. This raises hackles among some environmental groups and scientists who fear that altering genes could create insects that resist pesticides or spread other diseases. Miller says there are safety mechanisms built in.
So far, last year's field experiments said that the transgenic organism doesn't survive in nature. If you put it in contact with soil, it doesn't establish. It doesn't last very long in the plant because it's outcompeted by its non-transgenic counterpart.
Transgenic insects and bacteria, in fact, tend to be weaker than their wild relatives and often die out sooner. Entomologist Marjorie Hoy at the University of Florida at Gainesville found that out in 1996 when she released genetically altered mites in a protected test plot. The engineered gene failed to stick. Hoy says she and other scientists still don't know enough about the behavior of genetically altered insects. One worry is that an altered gene might spontaneously jump from one insect to others. And, of course, the insects themselves don't stay put.
Transgenic insects have a very great ability to move about in the environment. there are no international borders that are really likely to contain them.
Some environmental groups say the government should not approve field tests of these insects and bacteria. For her part, Hoy says tests should get a very qualified yes.
I would like very much to see us take baby steps so that we start to understand how to go about evaluating risk.
Several departments of the federal government share the job of evaluating risk. The Environmental Protection Agency regulates most microorganisms. The National Institutes of Health funds medical experiments, for example, with malarial mosquitoes. And the Agricultural Department's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, or APHIS, handles some animals and insect pests. Some scientists say this mix of regulators causes confusion. But Robert Rose, an entomologist with APHIS, says unless there's a rush of new applications for gene splicing, the system works fine. But then there's the question of whether the public will accept this new technology. Rose says it depends on whether they see benefits.
There is an understandable public benefit for an insect that doesn't transmit malaria, for example, or an insect, an agricultural pest that people have to spend a lot of money on pesticides to control. If it can be controlled in a biological way, I think it's not going to be terribly objectionable.
Winemakers in California who've seen Pierce's disease devastate their vines are interested in a genetic solution to their problem, but they're cautious. On a hillside at the Mount Palomar Winery near Temecula, winemaker Etienne Cowper says pesticides are keeping the disease under control for the moment.
Our current control methods for Pierce's disease are pretty successful, but you have to be very vigilant because the potential remains for it to come back. So it would be nice to have some other more permanent solution.
Tom Miller, who's genetically manipulating several kinds of insect at the University of California, acknowledges that there's a stigma attached to anything genetically engineered. He says the public needs to know a lot more about the way this technology works.
You know, in anything new, it takes a while to get used to it. It's taking us a while to get used to it. We have to understand how the organisms work in the field and how they behave and interact. And the regulators have never seen it before either. So it's new for everybody.
Once the newness wears off, the technology will still have to prove that it not only works, but is worth the effort and expense. Christopher Joyce, NPR News.